This is where we break through the traumas and the mental illnesses that are holding amazing parents back from their dream family life. You can find more resources at wandahoward.com. Thanks for joining us, and let's get started. You are now listening to part two of last week's podcast.
Yes, and especially like I feel like my brain, yeah, and I'm pretty sure pretty much everybody's brain fights itself at times, but with an experience like that, what a beautiful experience. And then for me later on, I would be like, but I haven't actually got to talk to dad about it yet, so I don't really know. And
I would like, well, yeah, overthinking is a different issue.
So, I think it's so amazing what you're doing, just because people deserve to feel that peace and that love, internal love, but also Christ-like love in their life. And it can feel impossible to even accept that kind of feeling when you are beating yourself up about something that your meaning is that is terrible and that shouldn't have happened. So
yeah,
very much agree. So with what we're talking about of action-oriented, that was another thing that just I really, really liked of in our first conversation. You said basically that if you're working with somebody and you tell them after 3 months, if there is not a massive shift and a massive change, that either you fire me or I fire you. And I really love that, because for me, and I've talked to so many other individuals who have gone to therapy for so many years,
right? And
they just are like, I don't know why I'm doing it, but I have to keep doing it because I still have problems. And it's so sad because it's hard to keep going in that pattern, and it feels very discouraging. But it also, from what I witnessed and why I haven't gone to therapy for so long, is because of that feeling of, what's the point? Like, I'm just digging up the old problem over and over and over again, but it doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
Can we turn the heater off?
So what would you say? Yeah, go ahead. It's right there. What would you say is the difference of how do you get that kind of result where in 3 months people can start feeling? And I can attest to this too, because just with one phone call, I have already felt a massive shift in my life. But what do you acclaim that to of the change?
You know, I think, boy, there's so many thoughts racing through my head. When we look at how the brain works, and when we separate out the person's lived experience from being a moral problem or some kind of a character flaw, from actually being connected to the biochemical realities, the shape of the brain, how the systems are working, right? That's a big eye opener for a lot of our clients. They come in and they feel that they're somehow flawed because they keep dealing with the same problem over and over. And as we get into it and we start to talk about the biology of their behavior and the capacity for the brain to transform, that we can upregulate all kinds of receptors that will change our mood, and we can change lifestyle, our nutrition, our sleep, our movement. There's like some really powerful things. It does instill a lot of hope. It does move people forward. I spoke some months ago. I went to a big CrossFit event in Southern Utah, and I was speaking, and there was this room full of these incredible, healthy, fit people. I mean, just strong CrossFitters, right? Mm-hmm. My job is I train the top 4 inches of their head. Mm-hmm. Then there's other specialists that do everything downstream.
What do you mean the top 4 inches of their head?
Just the brain. I help them with their thoughts and their emotions in their head, right? And then they go into the gym and they do all their weightlifting and all their nutrition stuff. One of the things I think that's helpful with our group, with Gray Space, is that we try to cover the whole body. So people can meet with some of us, meet myself and others about the top 4 inches and deal with the rewiring and the emotional side of life. And then they need to meet with our dietitian and our nutritionist and pull together some more activity in their life and change some behavior so they sleep better. And in aggregate, those things move forward. Then as we hold them accountable, smother them with praise and kindness, and then also a lot of straight talk when they need it. There's some good progress. Everyone shows up in a different place though. So we don't have like a start here and race through the program mentality, but in a general shared way, we do get people moving forward pretty quick.
Yeah. And that is something too, that was very refreshing of, I didn't have the words to describe it. And you pulled up like your brain model on our first conversation. You were saying like what parts of the brain does what and how you change, and that there's an actual neuroscience behind it. Takes changing your actions to make a different pathway in your brain and make you do something different and to feel the emotional benefits of it.
Yeah. So here's Emery.
What?
Before our call started, you told me you were an engineer.
Yes.
What does that mean? What do you like?
Engineering.
So do you like math?
Yes.
Do you like to draw?
Yeah.
Do you like to figure out and solve problems?
Yes.
Okay. So what that means is when you do those things inside your brain, when the brain is making connections to help you remember these things, right? You're taking actions that create lots of connections from one side of the brain to the other, right? When you draw and you figure stuff out on paper, we call it cross hemisphere neuro wiring, right? And we connect make those connections that way. People who do music the same way. Other kinds of interests, the connections form up and down on one side or the other. And each of them are awesome. Each brain design is really healthy. But when people get stuck in life, sometimes they need to rewire one way or the other a little bit more.
So a healthy brain should be able to do both, like the up and down way of thinking and the cross pattern thinking.
Yeah. And generally men are more up and down each side of the hemisphere, right? We're fixers. We're solve it. We don't give it a lot of emotional consideration, right? We just bam, done and move on. Right. And women in a generalization have a lot more cross hemisphere. So they're more pensive. They're more thoughtful of a decision. Consequently, they make better decisions. Usually they're less reckless. And so there's such a complement between men and women in brain wiring and everything else. Then I take that and I look at a little Emery with your age. How old are you now?
I'm 10.
You're 10, right? So you just have this brain that is growing and changing so fast. Unlike my brain at age 50, things are starting to slow down and it takes me longer to learn new things. And so we have to take into account a person's age, their gender, what they've been through, what are their habits? Are they in shape, out of shape, good nutrition, bad nutrition, all these things. And then we figure out a way to back and figure all that out and then help them move forward and be happy.
Yeah. And it really is cool too. It's like my experiences of it when I was going to therapy actively, it seemed like they just wanted to bring up the same old problems, have me talk through in detail of stuff that happened. And then they wanted me to they would ask me questions of why do you think that happened? What? And it was, part of it at the very beginning was helpful because they were asking questions that I never dared let myself even think. I wouldn't I wouldn't ask why. I just accepted the fact that it was all my fault. So there was a place for it, and it was helpful to a point. But then it got to this point where it's like, I've done this. I've said this over and over, and it's not that I want to just keep talking about it. Some people made some really interesting comments right when me and my family separated, and I was, I don't know how you want to phrase it still. It's like I was disowned or we separated, however you want to say it. When that happened, several people started making the comment, you're so much happier now that your family's gone. And I had to stop them every time and be like, that is not why I'm happy. I'm happier because I finally changed something. I finally showed up differently. I finally stood up for myself. Yeah. Like, it's not about my family being gone as much as the ability to show up the kind of person that I want to be. That's what I think makes all the difference.
Love it. Yep. Yeah, it is. The transformations that we go through, we just change so much as we grow, and life changes us. And I had a client the other day who, oh my gosh, when she hit this breakthrough in our session, and I challenged her hard on what meaning she had made to some old memories that were really interfering with her life. And when it broke and she saw this new idea, this new understanding, first of all, I really thought I heard like a pop in the room. Like she was just like so excited. It was just this, her whole body caught hold of this new idea, and she was just blown away. And then the second piece happened, which was I gave her permission that she never had to talk to anyone about this ever again. That she gets to just carry this, put this new meaning in her heart. And, you know, if in 5 years she's married and then heard her husband go to counseling for other things, like, she doesn't have to bring this old thing back, like, bed and move on. And she was even more excited. She's like, I'm so excited to just put this behind me. And there are so many good counselors and therapists out there, and they have incredible knowledge and skills. So it's, you know, it's a compliment to other people's work, what we do. In some ways, I hope it's as good or better, but yeah, we're all trying to eventually, you know, trying to do the same work, just help people live happy.
Yeah. And one of the things too, that, it like intermingles between therapy and religion, is this idea of letting someone else into your thoughts, like being okay enough that somebody else can challenge your beliefs, challenge your inner world, is very intimidating. But it's also very hopeful to just let people in that way. But with talking about things over and over and over, I can empathize with those who really are in that space of, I just want to talk. Because I was there for lots of years of, I want to finally say what I was never allowed to talk about, and I want people to listen, and I want to talk about it. But then it got to a point of like, but now I'm done. I'm okay to talk about it still. It doesn't bother me to talk about it, but I don't want to have to talk about it to feel good every day. I don't want to have to bring it to feel good again. And that's something that's really encouraging about the work that you're doing right now. Because I think so many people, they want to move forward. They're ready to just, let's have a good life.
Yeah. And it's gentle. I mean, I would hope no one would think that we're heavy handed or that I'm all just pumped up, fired up, you know, kind of a mentality. The truth is that the work is beautiful and it's gentle, and we move at the speed at which someone's ready. And, but we move, that's for sure. We make progress.
that is so cool. That is inspiring. One of the other things too, are you okay if we share here on the podcast The experience that you shared with me on our first conversation about home-centered, church-supported.
Yeah, I can talk about that a little bit.
Okay, because that was something else that this story that Doug shared with me was a huge special part of how I have felt and wasn't sure if it was okay to feel that way.
Yeah.
And, I just think so many more people need to hear what happened in that room that day. And so, yes, if you could please share.
I think some of the details of that room I'll keep intimate and close, but the journey for that phrase, that, and this is not just a little couplet, right? Home-centered, church-supported. This is an enormous shift in the church. It is a filter through which so many church activities, programs, policies are run through this filter, right? What are we doing? Does it stand up against this home-centered approach? And is that term evolved in meetings? I was just in the most beautiful discussions about the significance to that, that maybe as an institution we had become I don't know what the term, maybe a little overly demanding, that people's lives were to build the institution rather than the institution to build people's lives. And you know, it's an easy thing for there to be a difficult balance there, but maybe a little out of balance. And home-centered was a very gentle way for a huge course correction. Yeah. And it was a delight to be on the sidelines and get involved in all of that. For me, the symbolism of that comes down to this idea of what I call, this is just Doug, right? Just the two tables in my life, right? In my faith, there is a sacrament table at the church, and on that sacrament table, that's the institution, that's the emblems of Christ, that's the religious devotion and the actions I take inside my faith. There's another table that is the kitchen table in my home, and these two tables have huge meaning. That kitchen table represents the most important work of my life, which is my family. And I can't do anything at one table that jeopardizes the other. And I can't religiously swing into overemphasizing the sacrament table to the degree that I exile my children, right? Yeah. Or that I weaponize behavior that's supposed to lead them to God, but in all reality, all it's doing is pushing them away from me and away from this kitchen table. So as Janine and I have had years now to contemplate the power of home-centered, we've really put the kitchen table first and foremost. And Christ is at that table as well. All the beliefs, all the goodness. I've got a couple of boys off at university, different universities. And you know what? It's so cool when, you know, there's a little event and it's a huge sacrifice for these boys, but they come home. They want to be with us. They want to be in the house. They want to pull out the guitars and sing. They want to eat the food. They want to be at that table. And, you know, are they participating in every way in the church programs? No, they're finding their feet, but they're good, amazing boys. Right. And so I should call them men. They're really grown men, but they, that shift to home-centered was just so gentle and so beautiful. And I think there are many who have adopted it, and then there are many who are still just driven by the church focus, right? Church-centered life. And you know, it's good too. There's duty and there's, you know, they're doing good things, and it's, I don't mean to minimize that, but I think there's a better way to live.
Yeah. Well, and I agree, it doesn't need to minimize the other. It seems like when the kitchen table is taken care of, when the home is full and rich of unifying emotions and gentleness towards each other, then the church table, the sacrament table, is all the more richer and all the more supported in every way. So no, it doesn't need to take away when you, it's an interesting dynamic though. And I love the new lens that we can start to look through, because we very much want to make sure that we're doing what God wants and that we're keeping him the center of our lives. But I really like that you added, he's at that kitchen table too. He's,
sure.
He's there with it.
Yeah. And he's at every table. Right. And so there's people come into my office, sit here in these couches, and they come in with some very socially acceptable reasons, right? What they write down on their little, their form, why they want to talk, right? It's always these like really normal, good things. And usually within about 4 or 5 minutes of talking, we've drilled down to something much more intimate. Sometimes it's inside of a marriage relationship, but sometimes it's inside of a, it's always relationship centered. And sometimes it's the relationship they have with their faith, and they're in a faith crisis. And as they figure that out, I want them to be emotionally safe.
Yeah.
You know, so we do a lot of work around that as well.
That is so cool. And I could keep talking with you, Doug, and just keep going. We so many things. And, but I want people, I'm sure they can tell already just from hearing you speak, but I want to also add, my experience with Doug so far really has been a gentle, uplifting, hopeful experience, and not one of degradation, or I'm not moving fast enough, or there's all these things that I'm not quite at par to yet. It's just a very hopeful, like motivating experience. And that is something that is so cool, because oftentimes going to therapy, it can feel a lot more like, dang it, I'm still stuck and I don't see the path forward.
we have some pretty negative stigma around all of it. Instead of walking in the door and saying, hey, I'm paying you to get me going, let's do it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what is the best way, Doug, for people to get into your world, to get your help, and to move their life forward?
You know, they can find us online easy, the GraceSpaceExperts.com or DougRichens.com. It all kind of drives to the same place. We have a really fun new website that's going to launch in about 2 weeks. It'll probably be out by the time this goes live, but it's called WeFixHusbands.com. And it's going to be a lot of fun to help people find us through that little goofy website thing. It'll be fun. But people, as they find us, we just jump on a call and we do a consult. I've got some amazing, talented people in the office. And so usually within a short conversation, I get a pretty quick feel on if I'm a right fit, or if they really are going to be better served with Rachel or Camille or Rhett or Cody or, you know, all of the above. So we get people into the right chair and with the right coach, and then we start moving forward.
Well, that's awesome. And that's hopeful too, because as a client, it's intimidating to say, I don't think this is working. I want a different coach, or I want a different coach. So to know that you're somebody who's on their side on that, and you're looking for the best person for them too. That's awesome.
Yeah. So,
well, everybody, thanks so much for joining us. And thank you, Emery, for your amazing co-hosting.
Thanks, Emery. You're an all-star.
Thank you, Doug, for joining us too and all of the insights. I'm excited for what's coming. And everybody, stay tuned. We have a lot more coming from Doug. So I'm really excited to announce that in the very soon future. And we'll see you all next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you again for being a part of our podcast family and for the difference you are making right now in the world and in the walls of your own home. If you're wanting to support parents everywhere, you can do that by leaving a rate and review. This helps so many find connection and answers they are searching for. Also, don't forget to go to wandahoward.com and get your own free parenting blueprint. I love you all, and we will see you next time.